But joining us now is Jim Warshak. He's a retired colonel, U.S. Air Force. He's worked in the White House National Security Staff, and he has also been, of course, the Deputy Director for Intelligence for the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, during the peak years of wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and global war on terrorism. And he joins us now. Jim, it's good to talk to you, and thank you so much for your service to this country. It's just great to have you on today.
Great to be back with you, Laura.
Jim, General Kelly said it well when he said, he thought he had heard everything until he had heard a private phone call between the president and a grieving widow, politicized and condemned and criticized in the media. Your reaction to what happened?
Well, first of all, General Kelly's remarks were probably the best I've ever heard from any military officer on the subject, speaking certainly from his many years of service, combat service, and losing a son in battle. That in itself speaks volumes to the type of man he is. And I know there's been a lot of people who said, particularly on the left and from the Democrats, that he was put out there by President Trump. I beg to differ profusely, because he's the type of person that would do that to correct the narrative, because it is so important to the dignity and honor of our service members who have died to make that correction. So that's my first point.
Mm-hmm.
Second point is, this president, probably more than any other president, certainly in my time and in modern times, has surrounded himself with more combat-proven military leaders and general officers than any other president. He has their advice, he seeks their advice, and their advice is there when he needs it. So to say that this president was insensitive in dealing with a casualty notification or a condolence call in the manner which it was described is just unfathomable. So that's my position on it.
This is part of what General Kelly said yesterday. And as I told my listening audience, we're going to play his remarks in their entirety throughout the broadcast. But let's listen to this part.
It stuns me that a member of Congress would have listened in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought at least that was sacred. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases. Life, the dignity of life, was sacred. That's
pro-life, right.
Religion, that seems to be gone as well. Gold Star families, I think that left in the convention over the summer. But I just thought the selfless devotion that brings a man or woman to die on the battlefield, I just thought that that might be sacred. And when I listened to this woman and what she was saying and what she was doing on TV, the only thing I could do to collect my thoughts was to go and walk among the finest men and women on this earth. And you can always find them, because they're in Arlington National Cemetery. I went over there for an hour and a half, walked among the stones, some of whom I put there, because they were doing what I told them to do when they were killed.
I can't imagine that if you're a patriotic American and hearing those comments from a father who lost his own son and ordered other men into situations that ended up in their own deaths, that you don't have... I mean, I was so choked up, and I was so moved, because he painted a picture of the great sacrifice, and you see it in the number of headstones from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, that section of the cemetery where, you look at the enormity, the loss of life, men in their prime, women in their prime, fathers, husbands, brothers, sisters, and they're gone. And it's heartbreaking, and it is the cost of freedom. For people to say that Donald Trump doesn't care because they want to score some political points, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Colonel, General Kelly is one of those individuals who I think in many ways seems to be a throwback. The way he spoke about the things that used to be held sacred in our society. I spoke about this similarly at the Republican convention, the loss of respect for the elderly, for police, for teachers, for ourselves, and the way we conduct ourselves, all of us, you know, all of us can do better. Our entertainment, the degraded entertainment on in lyrics and music and billboards, on the way that violence, radical, horrific violence is glorified on the screen. This is the society we've created. And there is not a lot held in reverence today. Not that much. If you can't stand for the national anthem, if that's a debate point, then we are really at a different juncture.
That's absolutely correct, Laura. And I can tell you this, every member of the military that I've served with in nearly my 30 years believes wholeheartedly in the words that General Kelly mentioned, talking about what is sacred. We still believe in that, and we still put that on the highest shelf. And it comes out of patriotism, honor, respect, devotion to the country. We've lost a lot over the years, unfortunately, as you said, and we've got to get it back. And maybe this is a pivotal point where people start to remember and start to reflect on what's important to us. Certainly all of us who have deployed, and I've deployed many, many times to places you would never want to go to in the world and seen things that have never been believed or looked at by average Americans. And mm-hmm. One of the things you look forward to is coming back home because you know this is still the greatest country. We just have to do better in making sure Americans remember that. One of the hardest things for a military officer, and we get put into a pool of casualty notification officer roles, depending on the military service and the base you're assigned to, your number's going to come up and you're going to get that call to be that person the next time a military member has fallen, mm-hmm. To notify their families. It is the most gut-wrenching, hard act to do. You're basically going to break somebody's heart because you're the person that tells them first. This is long before a president makes a phone call or a president writes a letter. This is the first line of notification where you go with a chaplain to the family member's home, be it mm-hmm. a parent or a spouse. And it is the hardest thing to do. I've done it once and that was enough. And the second hardest is to preside over a military funeral, which senior military officers also have to take turns, so to speak. Your number will come up and you'll get the call to do it. That's probably the second hardest because the family has been notified already and now you're at the funeral and you're there to support them and preside over the proceedings. But those are the two most difficult military tasks that I can recall ever having.
You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Show. Colonel, before we let you go, George W. Bush came out yesterday and made comments that were widely seen as a broadside against the current president after basically 8 years, 9 years of his never criticizing Barack Obama, not one criticism about whether it's Benghazi or open borders or any of the things that happened. And yet he did feel like he needed to come out yesterday. Let's listen.
The return of isolationist sentiments, forgetting that American security is directly threatened by the chaos and despair of distant places where threats such as terrorism, infectious disease, criminal gangs, and drug trafficking tend to emerge. In all these ways, we need to recall and recover our own identity. Americans have great advantage. To renew our country, we only need to remember our values.
He talked about the casual cruelty, again, seemed to be directed at the current president of the United States. What are your thoughts there?
My first thought was, why is he doing this? I served under that president. I served all my tours in Iraq and Afghanistan under that president, and I was extremely disappointed in the fact that he came out and made that speech at all. Secondly, as you well noted, where was he for the previous 8 years during the Obama administration, where that administration seemed to be totally disengaged from America's resolve, America's role in the world, and contributed to doing that? And for him to come out now at this point in time, when we are trying to reintegrate America, put America back as a leader in the world, to come out and say that, pushing the globalist rhetoric, was extremely disappointing to me, having served under that man.
Colonel, we salute you for your service to this country, your patriotism, and your candor. It's needed now more than ever. And you come back anytime, and God bless you. I just love our military. Our military just rock. And General Kelly is, I mean, he was one of my favorites before, but now he's really my favorite. Don't go away. Thanks for listening to this podcast excerpt of The Laura Ingraham Show. If you'd like to receive podcasts of our complete shows, go to lauraingraham.com and sign up to become a member of Laura 365. Our Laura 365 members get commercial-free streams and podcasts of our shows every day we're on the air. And also, you can listen to the last 30 days of The Laura Ingraham Show. Be ahead of the curve. Join Laura 365.